Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 556, The Invisible Man.
Whoa. Happy March.
Yeah. The sure. Ides of March.
That's the
7th. No, hold on.
That's the 4th. 15th. Yeah, there it is.
It's like grandma's birthday.
Okay. Oh,
happy birthday.
Yeah, she's dead.
Well,
slightly less happy birthday.
Yeah, I still want to wish her a full happy birthday.
Feel free.
Yeah.
She'll appreciate it.
Yeah. Good.
So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves before I forget.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And returning via the magic of Skype phone is Tammy Sherman Powers. Hey, Tammy, how's it going?
Very good.
Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Spreaker. Okay, Kevin.
Well, if you're going to go to Spotify, Stitcher,
I guess it all goes
together, so.
Yeah. And then while you're there, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And then find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And, of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month, all sorts of bonus content. And you get to help out, and that's greatly appreciated.
Yes.
So, Invisible Man. I keep wanting to call it the Invisible Woman because it's all about her. I know she's not invisible, but I don't know.
Or is she?
Well,
I
don't know.
Dun, dun.
Yeah. But
yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's because she's the main character,
right?
It's
interesting because I feel like this is the only, maybe Dracula, the only universal property.
Oh, Dracula.
Dracula. That could work in 2020. Right? Like the Wolfman kind of doesn't.
You say that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think that anyone before this was like, oh, I bet you this would be the most normal.
But at least
the
Invisible Man makes sense, right? Because it's tech and it's all kinds of.
Well, they modernized it, which
right,
I thought was
right.
Cool. But I'm just saying, don't say that until Blumhouse tries it because.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
Agree with you. His track record, their track record is kind of spotless.
Get this guy in charge. You get Lee Whannell.
I think it's Whannell.
Oh, it's Whannell?
I think so.
Okay. You get Lee W. in charge of the, you know, after this, I know Universal had that other thing going, but after this, they may go,
Do you think Frankenstein would work in 2020? I feel like that is just.
I think it comes down to how you're reimagining it. The idea of bringing something dead back to life. Why would that not work? I mean,
it was Pet Sematary.
Humans have been telling that story.
Yeah.
For thousands of years.
I guess I'm just
An entire religion based
that's
on
true.
That
I guess I'm
story.
Thinking of the grave robbing part and sewing body parts together to make a thing.
If you do it right, and it depends how much horror they make it, you know, I mean, I think it could. I wouldn't count them.
I don't count them out, but I feel like this is the one that makes the most sense.
I like what you're saying, though, because, I mean, obviously we'll get into the tech part of it, but the whole time I'm watching, I'm thinking, what are we watching? Is this, you know, science, like, jibber-jabber, like, not tech, but, like, science? Is he misting himself with the chemicals? The green tube goes into the purple, and he pours it on himself and sprays it. Like, I thought it was going to be a shower. It looked like kind of a shower.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And then, you know, he's invisible. What are we doing here? And then come to find out it's something different towards the end. And I
love the fact that they didn't spend a lot of time on the tech.
They were just like, boom,
I love that it was
boom.
The end.
Because I didn't care.
Yeah.
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 Right? Like, he's invisible. I get it. Like, I don't really care why or how.
Right.
But if you knew how at first, I think it wouldn't have been as good. Like, yeah. I don't want to know.
Right.
I like that they told us. I didn't need an explanation, but I like that they did it at the end, and it was like, this is what it is. We've already seen this great movie. You know, because technology, we say how in older movies, technology kind of eliminates a lot of problems, especially in horror movies.
It can, yeah.
When you're like, well, if you just had a cell phone, if you just had whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you say your slasher movie in 1985.
Right, so they use technology a lot as, you know, you can, as Deus Ex Machina, you can do anything with technology, and you can make up sci-fi technology. So I like that they didn't spend a whole lot of time on it and you didn't know it was technology, because
right.
then you could watch the whole movie just like, this is crazy. It's creepy.
Right.
Don't know how he's doing it. And then you're like, oh, wow, that's a modern take.
Yeah. But in the original, he's making drugs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for the time.
He does the Flash.
That was technology.
Right. That's true.
You know
that's
what I mean?
True.
That was a fairly new technology.
This is an interesting combination of Paranormal Activity and Hitchcock. Like, that's that. As I'm watching, I'm like, that's the best way to describe it. Like, if you watch those Paranormal Activity movies, everything that the Invisible Man is doing is stuff that they did in Paranormal Activity.
It's funny. Like, oh, your lights are turning on. Oh,
yeah,
your toaster's falling or whatever.
Or, you know, like, you get pulled.
He made himself a ghost.
Basically, yeah, he did make himself a ghost.
It's interesting.
But at the same time, you've got these Hitchcock elements where they plant seeds early in the movie that come back around at the end,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of forget about them, but then as soon as that character is back in the spot, you're like, there's the bomb. Like,
right.
when are we going to get to the bomb? Like, we know it's coming.
Chekhov's pepper spray.
Exactly. Yeah, the pepper spray or a suit. You
right.
know, like, all of that stuff is all there for you to remember if you want.
Yeah.
Like, if you're eagle-eyed and you remember all of it, that's...
Yeah,
yeah, like, when we saw the pepper spray, I'm like, that's going to play a role.
Yeah,
when
the pepper spray
yeah,
or...
the suit. The stash
well,
of the
well,
suit,
you had to know it would play, but where? That's the
yeah.
thing is, you,
but where and how?
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
But I like it. Just going back real quick, and then I want to get Tammy's perspective, not being a horror person, but like you say, the Invisible Man before, like he's making drugs, and I get it. Like, technology is a caveman making a wheel. You know what I mean? Like, technology can be anything, but
right.
I still think like formulas, pills, drugs. Like, I think that's different than this technology. I just mean I like that. You know, this is a different type of tech as opposed
oh, yeah,
to
like I,
science, you know?
There's yeah, two... like, I, it makes sense. Like, I mean, I agree that I think making it be a medicine or
yeah,
potion
for,
in
like,
today's
that's
world.
That's magic.
Right.
That's magic.
Yeah.
You know?
And so I...
And this is explainable.
Right.
Because you know that formula doesn't exist and it would be impossible.
Right.
Right? Like, that's the
it's
fun of it.
It's not how science works.
It's not.
So it's the invisibility cloak.
Eating something and being invisible, like your organs when you eat, where does your food go? How does that turn invisible? Like,
right.
it doesn't make sense. I'm... For a movie, and if you love it, that's fine. I'm not knocking it, but you separate that from reality.
Right.
This movie, come to find out, everything could happen if this technology was
streamlined. But he doesn't wear a top hat and a monocle.
Well, that's the problem. That's the only bad part of the movie.
You do see the top hat.
You do, which I thought was a nice little...
There's three nods to the original.
Yes, there are.
In this movie.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. yeah. So
I know two of them, so I'm interested to see what the third one
so
was.
So there's the top... There's the mannequin in her room.
Yep.
Is kind of dressed like him. Like
that's what I thought.
Yeah, that was
so
creepy.
So there's a scene where she's at the hospital.
The guy in the bandages.
Yep.
That was the obvious
yeah.
one. Yeah.
And then the code to get into their house is
really?
1933.
Oh,
so
the year
movie
came out.
Which is the year the
nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Helps to have old guys go see these movies sometimes.
So Joe's a huge horror buff.
Yeah.
Tom and I aren't. I mean, we see him sometimes and the good
yeah.
ones are good and, you know, whatever. So Tammy, I'm thinking you're maybe even less of a horror fan than Tom or I.
Yeah. I wouldn't consider this horror. It was more just spent.
Yeah, I would agree.
There wasn't a lot of blood. No gore, so it wasn't really a horror film.
Scene. I would disagree that there was gore, but it was restrained, and
yeah.
it was and which is interesting because normally when we talk about movies, once they get the R, we're like, why don't you double down?
Yeah,
and this is a movie that didn't double down, and
but
I felt like
an R.
But I felt like when it went
but
there,
but it doubled down when it did.
It
right?
was
like,
right. It was yeah. much more impactful because they weren't throwing it at you nonstop. I mean, I think there was only two F-bombs because I spent a good chunk of this movie wondering, is this PG-13?
That's
and
fair.
Then when I saw, you know, when we
but
get
the
to
gore
the,
when it happens,
when you get to the
is.
Climax and then the,
well, when
the finale,
you, when you get to the dinner scene with the sister, you're like, oh, this is R.
Well, I think that's when it turns, right?
Yeah.
That's the dinner scene with the sister, getting her out of the hospital, and then the dinner scene.
I'd say the hospital is the main part, but the other two.
But well, I just when you get to the dinner scene with the sister,
that's where it goes.
You also know there's no way that this could be PG-13.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. Like, exactly.
Yeah. Correct. So yeah. Regardless of what happens after that, you got an R.
Right.
But yeah, like I thought the gore was really restrained and impactful because when it did happen.
Yeah, and Lee Winnell has an eye for gore.
Yeah.
Right? Like Upgrade is
He wrote Saw.
Let's
just put that out.
But going back to what Tammy was saying, like I agree that like I think the only reason people probably even think of this as a horror movie is because it's called The Invisible Man. And
those trailers make it look like a horror
Universal
film.
Monsters right. and you know, but yeah, it really is much more of a thriller and a suspense movie.
I would agree with that.
So with that being said, Tammy, what did you think of this movie?
Oh, I did like it. I spent most of the movie trying to have to remind myself to breathe.
Yeah.
Because I would be sitting there for so long and then I'd be like, okay, I got to breathe. But I did. I really liked it.
So as a woman, I mean, you see all the stuff she's going through, and this is a very poignant film for this day and age.
Yeah.
And it deals with topics that are very...
But it also doesn't beat you over the head with it.
No.
Like, I mean, it... And like... A lot of those, especially those horror movies from back then, like they did kind of like they worked because they kind of tapped into the zeitgeist and
sure.
the collective consciousness.
That's what zombie movies were.
Oh, right. Yeah. Or yeah. Godzilla, nuclear war, sure. and the day the earth stood still. Communism and,
sure.
and you know, so you would see a lot of that. Right.
Yeah.
And I think this does that, but it doesn't, it also never gets preachy. It just knows you're living in a world where this is a thing.
Yeah.
And it uses it as a starting point and a reference point.
Yeah.
But it's not spoon feeding you a message either.
It's very true. Like, my husband passed away a couple years ago and the first thing I did was get a security system. And, you know, my daughter's 11. She's taking black belt training right now. It's just for self-defense. It's just something that growing up now as a female, you have to protect yourself. You have to do those kind of things. And I've never been in any kind of relationship like she's been. Mm. So I haven't had to fear it like that. But it's something that from, you know, my daughter's age, you're starting to right now, you have to protect yourself constantly. There's always that fear that there's someone out there that's waiting to attack you. You know, you try to get over that and you've got to live your life. But as a female, there's always that in the back of your head. When you leave the mall, keep your keys in your hand. You know, there's always those little things that you have to worry about.
Carry around a fire extinguisher.
For invisible men.
Invisible men. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, what he does is so insidious because, no pun intended.
Oh, no, it was good. We should say intended.
Yeah. Because, it starts off great, right? Like, I'm sure that relationship started off, you know, they don't start.
She says that.
Yeah, they don't start acting like that.
Yeah, you wouldn't be with them for long.
Right. She said, like, there's a whole scene where she breaks down. She's like, you came on to me in that bar. And then all of a sudden I wasn't saying the right things or I wasn't wearing the right things. And then it was like a progression of this, this is the guy, in The Haunting of Hill House. This is the drug addict brother.
Okay.
So like, and he starts to close ranks basically around Sicily. Was that her name?
Cecilia.
Cecilia. Yeah. Elizabeth Moss.
Cecily.
Cecilia.
Spicy meatball.
Don't do that. You're not allowed to do that.
But he
does. He closes ranks around her and kind of like isolates her from everyone. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I feel like that's probably the most regular type of abuse that besides physical is just that isolation that
they typically go hand in hand.
I think, yeah, right. And we know that there's been an abuse physically and sexually in this movie.
Yeah.
Without having her detail these horrific things, she hints at it and we know what she's talking about.
Right.
You know,
but you know, I think a lot of times mental abuse isn't given as much weight as physical abuse, because physically you can see,
right?
But you can really mess with someone, and clearly she's been psychologically damaged by this person. And sometimes they're both bad, but sometimes mental abuse can be even worse. You can't see it, so how do you, so,
and it's so much more difficult to prove.
That's what I mean. Yeah, like you like can't. How do you? Oh yeah, he's mentally abused me. Okay, where's your evidence? Well,
even beyond that, when you lay out what occurred, even if they believe believe, even if they believe that something might have occurred, they're like, but I mean, he could have meant this,
right,
or, you know, like, yeah, that, you know, and
that's manipulative nature. Defend,
yeah, that's where the, you know, the gaslighting starts.
Right, and that's all this movie is. This is, yeah, a big gaslighting movie. And not to the fans, right, but like, he's gaslighting her, well, the entire time.
And all the stuff going back to what we were talking about earlier, I think it was handled so well with those poignant topics of today, yeah, you know, with the Me Too stuff from her doing that job interview, and, you know, especially the overarching theme of believe women. When, you know, it, no one's believing
in
her.
In that, right, interview, when that guy makes the comment, there was a woman behind me. And she goes,
pfft. Oh, the whole theater was like,
yeah,
oh,
there's like, ooh.
Which one, the job interview?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
just like so gross.
It was very gross. So but it's interesting because he hits that one comment,
and then he's nice the rest
and
of
then,
the
time. And then, which I loved,
uh-huh,
right? Like, I love that because it's like
he's not a bad guy.
It's like,
maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. But I love the message that kind of sends, that like, that guys will just casually do these creepy douchey things
without, right, knowing that they're doing it.
And then
it
just roll back into regular life. Yeah. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean they're a monster and they're going to kill you.
Right.
But it doesn't also make it any less weird or awkward.
Right.
I think it also shows how normal of a behavior it
is. That's what,
yeah,
I felt like it, right, was more so. It's like, it's just normal behavior, and it's accepted.
That's normal, because this guy isn't maybe, you know, a mentally abusive person or someone that would physically abuse or a stalker or a rapist or anything. Like, he seems like a normal guy and owner of a company and maybe a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Yet it's normalized to make those comments in society because he's doing it, and she kind of just goes with it. Like, you know, and no one calls it out. And I think that shows, it's like, yeah.
Well, and she needs a job.
Right.
Right.
Like, I mean, she doesn't, which is the, you know, yeah, you know, like, she goes with it because he's got the power there.
Yep. Which is exactly the problem in society, is, right, that's what women are forced with.
Right.
Right.
So
I wanted to say real quick what I really like about the guy, who I wasn't familiar with him. I guess I didn't watch that show. The
Invisible Man.
The Invisible Man.
Oh, they, oh,
I don't. Yeah, I don't know that.
Seriously,
actor.
Go watch The Haunting. Okay.
Oh my God, so good. Okay. Have you seen Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, Tammy?
Yes, yes, I have.
Oh my God,
and so good.
I'm not a horror guy either, but, well, yeah, you're neither horror nor guy, but, yeah, but using gender neutral guy. I'm not a horror gal.
Gender neutral?
Right.
Yeah,
it,
right,
it can,
right,
work,
right,
both ways,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Like, think, so, yeah, I'm,
nope,
not a horror gal. I'll just own it. But that show was really good.
So good.
I like how it just dealt with, like, from just, in the same way that, like, Halloween deals with, like, that would have messed her up.
Oh, yeah.
And most movies is, like, when the monster's dead, it's like, oh, thank God everything can go back to normal. And you're like, but it won't. It won't,
right,
go back to normal.
You've got a life to live.
Yeah, and I loved how that show like was all about the ramifications
for all of them.
For all of them, of, yeah, what had happened after
this horrific
haunting of,
yeah,
a house on a hill.
Yep.
So I didn't know him, but what I thought was really smart, why is Jaws so scary?
Because you never see
you hardly ever see the shark.
So, yeah, smart in this,
yep,
movie. This guy is in one amazing cold open.
Yep.
You never,
oh,
you don't,
oh,
you,
yeah, right,
barely,
right, right,
get a look,
you,
at him.
But
in,
yeah,
there,
you don't, it's like, yeah, from the inside of the car and he's outside. So that's the thing. So he's in one amazing cold open, hardly sleeping, you know, outside of a car window. Then you never see him again. He's quote unquote dead. We don't know what's going on. And for the entire movie, he's invisible.
Yeah.
So it was really smart, because this guy, all you know about it, how terrible and creepy he is, you don't get to hear him really talk. You don't get to,
right,
hear him be, you know, clever and whatever. And so you have no, this guy is a monster that's been told to,
right,
you, right? So you're in your head thinking, who is this terrible monster?
It's a crazy head fake, right? So we're told he's this awful monster, he's this awful person, and then we see him at one point and you're just like,
and that's what made it, yes,
is he?
And then when you finally see him, it even messes with you more,
right?
But it speaks to, what has she been telling us the entire movie?
Right,
this is what he does. And,
right,
so anyway, I think it was brilliant that they barely showed him, then you don't see him at all because of the premise of the movie.
Yeah.
And then at the end you see him and get to decide only at the very last scene what this guy is. And so,
right,
it's cool. So,
well, yeah, in the original Invisible Man, it was Claude Rains.
Claude Rains,
you don't,
yeah,
see him until like the last scene. And cause,
oh,
he's,
really,
because he's always bandaged up.
Oh,
and stuff.
Oh, right,
and,
right, right.
And they originally wanted Bela Lugosi, and supposedly he wouldn't take the role because he's like, I'm not in the
can't
movie.
See it. But
he's like, it's all voice work. And the one scene at the end, and he's like,
I want to be in the movie.
You know, actors are like, yeah, I want to show my face.
That's the old handgun by the face thing in,
yeah,
cops movies.
But,
yeah,
so, but in the original Invisible Man, is he a good guy?
I think he starts off as a good guy, but he slowly goes insane.
So,
right?
Yeah. So, right, here's, so in the original movie, the potion drives him mad.
Right.
But in the book,
oh,
he's crazy to start with.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So, and so what's going to be interesting is a lot of people complaining that they've changed from the movie.
The movie.
I mean, obviously, the movie's very different.
It is.
But that piece is actually more true to the book in that the potion doesn't, they don't make him a sympathetic character. Like, you kind of feel bad for the Invisible Man just because even though he's crazy, this potion is making him crazy.
Right, right.
Where, in the book, he starts off.
I feel like in this one, he's already gone. He's already a terrible manipulator. This has nothing to do with. So the movie, like Kevin said, it's a cold open where.
I love the opening shot of the movie where the house overlooks the ocean
and the
waves are coming
in. Thank you for mentioning that. Was clever.
That was really good.
Because it's so like how the classic horror movies would
very
start
much
with
so.
Like the creepy mansion on a hill, except now our mansions aren't gothic. They're very modern.
So that's the thing. This guy, if you go watch Upgrade, he gets way into like the modern architecture and sliding, granite doors and things like that. So this whole, I can't remember the Invisible Man's house is Lee Whannell taking care of business. Like he goes all out on this whole thing. Like even the
house is almost a character.
It is. And then the guy who creates the stem chip on for the, and the, he's also got like this really weird architecture and, what's that, impressionist? Is that a thing?
I mean, I don't know that style of architecture is. I mean, impressionist is an era of painting.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Just like, you know what I'm talking about though. Like, it's
modern. Is it modern?
I guess it's modernist.
So
I don't know.
Probably just modern.
But yeah, so he gets way into all of that.
The
waves
shot was
crashing.
Cool, but the title sequence
I liked that.
That was clever that the letters were clear and only water washing over that you saw.
Right.
I was like, that was
which
clever.
Is also
I liked it.
It's a Hitchcock thing, right?
Is it?
Well, sure. They're telling us how to see the Invisible Man.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
you know,
because
like it's all there in the front of us.
If you have some kind of a liquid or something that could be on top of them, you'll reveal them. Yes, that's cool. And yeah, I thought it was very clever. I thought from the very opening right there, you see that you're dealing with someone, small thing like that, but you see you're dealing with someone
smart.
That knows what they're doing.
Right.
And then, I mean, you just get into it. This scene, I loved it. You don't know what's going on.
Nope.
You see her pull out the bottle of like diazepam and you're not exactly sure what's going on, but then she shows you, she dumps out his water,
and she rinses,
checks that he's
rinses asleep. Out. Yeah.
And then you, from there you see, she's trying to get away from.
Yeah. She's got a duffel bag, a go bag, basically passports, cash, clothes.
And the whole time she's looking back at him and then
she's got it on her phone.
Yeah. Well, then she finally puts the camera up and then she's watching him, but the suspense,
you ladies in your security systems.
But I mean, I think to Tammy's point earlier, like from the get, this opening scene was so suspenseful and so stressful.
Tammy, pardon my French. It grabs you by the nuts.
Yeah.
And does not let go. Like it's almost, there was something else that we had reviewed where it's like, it gets a hold of you and does not. Oh, Uncut Gems.
Oh yeah. That's true.
Where like it gets a hold of you and refuses to let you take a breath. And this one is very similar. They have beats where, they give you some levity, but they don't last long.
Yeah. I mean, you know? I think like movies like, Good Time and Uncut Gems are more relentless because this movie, as stressful as it is, like there is that downtime. Those movies are like, good
Non-stop.
Lord, you, when you're in, you're hooked up and you're like, I can't go do anything.
Right,
like, I'm just stressed out. But yeah, I love that from the get-go, they set the tone and it's scary.
Yeah.
You know,
So she takes off and of course it's this massive property. So she's got to jump over a fence and try to get, she runs into the woods and unfortunately as she's getting away, here comes the dog. And I was like, oh, that bastard dog. But I was like, oh, he wants to go too.
But right.
He wants nothing to do with this guy. That's the red flag, right?
That shows you the character.
The dog is like, no, thank you.
That's smart. Smart screenwriting.
When she took the squawk box off of him, I was like, what are you doing? Like now he's going to bark at you.
Well, no, it's not.
No, it's an electric
box.
Fence.
He couldn't get out without it.
Oh, I thought it was so he wouldn't.
No, there's an electric fence, which I don't know why, because there was a real fence. But
that makes more sense.
But it probably like in case he gets out or maybe certain areas of the yard.
Yeah, they
it's
might
more
just,
contained.
Yeah.
OK. I thought it was a thing to make him not bark.
No, I know they have. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No,
but it even said on it. Somehow you knew
it was an electric fence.
OK.
So but then, of course, she's nice.
You know, the ultimate irony. You know what else they call those?
No.
Invisible fences.
Oh,
well, that's a brand. True, yeah. That's a brand.
Yeah.
Invisible Fence trademark.
But yeah, she bonked into a car. And of course, that sets off the alarm.
The
and
dog does.
No, I think she hit it with her bag.
I thought the dog bumped
the
into
dog
the
backed
car.
Up into it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
So that, which makes it all the more like heartbreaking, right? Like
dog.
She's trying right. to save the dog too.
She screwed right. herself over by that
yeah. Yeah.
niceness. But it shows you, it sets up the characters just from that opening scene with no words, basically, you now have established how bad he is
right.
by her actions escaping and the dog wants to go.
Like having to run out at midnight.
Yeah.
You know?
And how good she is because she stops and, you know, helps the dog.
Yes.
Like you've established all these things.
Yeah, I mean,
words,
we talk a lot about lazy exposition, but it's not often you get exposition that's done well and wordlessly.
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, it's a great way to set up. And the suspense. I mean, when that light goes on in the bedroom.
Gotta go.
When she can't get over the fence and you think she's slipping, she's not going to make it over.
Yeah.
Through the woods with the flashlight, looking back and forth.
And she's trying to get over that fence. And I'm like, where is Taken's editor when right. you need them?
Elizabeth Moss says, I'll jump over this on my own. Yeah, so she gets out and she gets to this like service road basically, and she's asked, I think it's Emily was her sister. She's, you know, she's freaking out.
I thought the car was him.
I thought
so,
the car was him as well.
I thought it was too.
I'm so happy that it's here and it's oh, stressing
so she,
me out.
She,
yeah.
And I do like that she. We also get an idea. This is the not only do we know how bad this relationship is already, right? But we also know that he has isolated her from her family. Like, this is her sister.
That's
and
what
her,
people do.
And her sister's like, yeah. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing here? And she's like, I'll explain it later. And then this is one of the scariest scenes of the movie is, so the shot itself, you've seen this in the trailer.
You know,
but,
I mean, this is like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
Oh, for
I mean,
sure.
This is like, you know, from you've been trained to know that he's going to be there. And
but
you
just
see
the,
him from a distance.
The way it's filmed, though, right? Like, it's filmed from the driver's side through the driver's side window. And so it's like it's straight through
it's
the car.
It's rhythm section action scene, you know? I mean, it's in all the action's happening in the car and the crazy stuff
and
is external.
You see him in the passenger's window, like sprinting out of the dark.
Get back here.
Yeah,
or whatever.
And he smashes the window with one punch.
And how crazy is a person that doesn't want his wife to be going in
wife?
A car with his.
Were they married?
I guess maybe technically not, and that's why she was surprised by the inheritance. I'm guessing they weren't. But
yeah, no, she's it was boyfriend girlfriend.
Yeah,
right,
so
okay.
But I mean, but how crazy are you that this woman is getting in the car with her sister and you don't technically know anything that's going on and you smash the window with your hand?
Yeah, if like you and it's another great piece of exposition, right? Like if you had any doubts about like, well, just because she thinks that she's in that much danger. Is she really in that much danger?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's insane. That's insane.
She's absolutely in that much danger.
And of course, the diazepam bottle, Chekhov's diazepam bottle.
Right. Falls and he picks it up. And then
and
she
his hand is covered in blood, you see, where you're like, yeah, he really got hurt by that.
Yeah, well, that happens when you punch a window.
Yeah.
Like especially a car window.
Yeah.
Those are
hard to get through.
And you know, I saw this in IMAX. Everything had such
so
a punch
loud.
To it.
I like
you know?
So loud.
But I think for this
IMAX
movie
too,
though,
yeah.
but I think for
yeah.
this movie, when he punches the window, when she kicks the dog dish,
they
I
get a lot of cool
like,
things with like think sound yep. going on behind you.
Yep, yep,
and,
yep.
But it's loud. I mean IMAX, because it's like, why does this movie need to be an IMAX? It's not a big blockbuster or whatever. But the sound of IMAX.
So I actually
is...
saw this at the Arnold AMC because it was not AMC but the Arnold Marcus because it was the time that worked it's in the theater that I wanted and they've just gutted that whole place
they
just did it and it's I gotta tell you it was amazing like the sound is insanely good it was a great
that's
experience.
How all the Marcuses they redid here are too like Marcus is a regional theater chain they've got some around us in these states but they came to St. Louis recently bought out our old theater chain and man what a difference this
big
company
time.
Knows
and,
what it's doing
and
like.
By old we mean old
yes.
Old.
I mean they've been around for 100 years.
Or, yeah that yeah. was that was their logo
yeah
it's you know
ba, 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 ba,
oh, so
ba,
see
you're from St. Louis
you know that right
Weirenberg.
Yeah
Weirenberg.
Unfortunately, your theaters had springs that would go in my butt because that's how bad
well,
those
but,
seats
and you had
were.
To pay extra for that.
That is correct, yeah. Yes.
But there was also a downside.
So she gets away and we're introduced to who I assume is her sister's ex-husband.
No.
I think they're all friends.
Wikipedia says it's a childhood friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
But I was a little vague. Damn, could you ever figure out exactly what the relationship was?
I thought they were work coworkers, something, but they
didn't. She's an architect and he's a cop.
I just took it as, at first it seemed like she was staying there while the sister was working and she was going to come home and be married to this guy. But then as they talked, it seemed more like he obviously has a kid. I'm thinking his wife passed away. And
so I was
friends.
Thinking, I guess that's true. They never,
the kid's mom has never explained. I'm thinking she's just,
and there's no real interaction between Elizabeth Moss's sister and the kid.
No.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I thought is, like, they were.
And the other guy's just jokey with, like, hey, like, he knows that's the sister, but there's no relationship there. He's just like, right. Hey, do I know you? Why are you at my door? So, yeah, I just think he is, like, they're just, like, best, really good friends.
I guess that makes sense. But yeah. I guess I did feel.
I
like
the fact that, like, they never went down the
relationship
road.
Yes.
Nope. You know, like, just because, like, she doesn't have to have a love interest. No. It's okay.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would be detrimental to this whole movie if all of a sudden she gets out of this awful toxic relationship, she's immediately in another one with another guy.
Because then the message is just like, oh, you just need the right man to save
correct.
You
correct.
Isn't that nice? They've been doing this lately where there's men and women leads, or you know, their main characters in movies, and they're not romantic, where it used to always be you had to have a love interest. And it's so refreshing to see that they can be friends and that doesn't have to be a storyline.
Right. Yeah, because at first I was waiting for that to pick up. Like oh, they're going to fall in
love.
That
dude's ripped. You see him in a tank. Like, yeah. You know, they set up where, like, he comes into a room. He's ripped. He's got a tank top on.
Was he on Lost?
No, I don't remember ever seeing that guy on Lost. But it's like they set it up to
he
where.
He was on The Walking Dead.
Ah, that's what go. It was. Okay. Yes, okay. Thank you. Perfect.
He's like, I knew there was something with lots of walking in the woods.
But in any other movie, or in the way they used to make movies, you get a guy that's ripped in a tank top coming in, and then the next scene is like, hey, what's up?
Right.
And so I just thought it was really nice that they never went down that road.
They did not, yeah. So that she's living...
It's been 2 weeks.
2 weeks, and she is on edge, big time. She thinks she knows how this guy's mind works, and... She doesn't believe that he knows Mike, I think, is the cop, I think.
Okay.
James is the cop, and he, like, she knows that he doesn't know anything about James. Like, right. So she's safe there, but then all of a sudden her sister shows up at the door, and she's
also been like, she won't go get the mail.
What I appreciate is James is like, look, man, part of the deals is with you living here, you got to start getting outsides, right? So she gets to the mailbox and she sees a guy in like a hood jogging down the street, and she freaks out.
I mean, she is traumatized.
Oh,
she
yeah.
is mentally.
But what James does, he's like, that's the furthest you've gone, man. Like, that's fantastic. So it's not like, you suck.
No,
you know? Like,
no.
He's very encouraging.
He's very supportive. But then, yes, the
sister shows up
like,
and he's like, I told you, you can't be in control all the time. She's like, will you shut up for a second? We don't have to worry about Adrian. That's his Adrian. He's dead. And of course, this Elizabeth Moth is like, doesn't understand. Like, what do you mean he committed suicide? Like, that doesn't.
He's the most in control.
That doesn't
person.
Fit.
He doesn't
anything.
Right.
So they go. She's a letter shows up at James's house, which was your first sign that something was off. Like, how would she get mail at his house?
Yeah.
You know, like,
oh,
that
absolutely. From the get, you're right. If you're paying attention,
right.
You remember back to when that letter came
and just like,
how would I get mail?
Right. Yeah. And then they open it up and it turned, they have to go to, Adrian's brother, who is the scummiest of scum.
He is, if there ever was a.
There was a moment where you're just like, okay, maybe Adrian's world is about Adrian, and he has broken every single person.
Yeah. When he gives you that story,
you're just like,
you do a double.
Well, maybe, you know. So he basically says, contingent on, he thinks that Elizabeth Moss only was with Adrian for his money. Like every, and that's the line, like every other girl he ever got involved with, they were after his money. What he says is, you get $5 million for the next 4 years in $100,000 increments a month.
Yep.
Okay.
For about 4 years.
Contingent on the small print. Don't get charged with a crime. Yada yada yada.
Don't be crazy.
Don't eat food after midnight.
Yeah, right. And I was like, yada yada over the best part.
Yeah.
Like, man. So her life is starting to look up. You know, like this guy, this horrible presence in her life. She is under the impression they show her pictures. No, that's later.
But
he basically says, I have a thing of ashes on my right here that says that this is it. Like, he's gone.
So the next scene, she's at her house and she crosses to go, or she goes to get the mail.
Well, you don't even see her. Like he's having, like James is having a conversation with his daughter.
She steps at the front door.
All of a sudden, then, there she is with the mail. Yeah. Like if she walks back in.
Yeah.
And I just thought like it. There is Elizabeth Moss is such an amazing actor.
She's so good.
And I can't think of anybody else that could pull off the mousiness, but then turn around. That do a 180 with that character throughout the entire movie because she has flashes of it.
Yeah.
You know, she gets the mail, she's at the interview, but then something happens and she reverts right back. She's curled up in a ball on the floor thing. You know, so
And what I love about this too is like Elizabeth Moss is an amazing actress, like you said, you know, but she doesn't have the typical Hollywood actress look. You know, she's more of like the everyman, I would say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people online have been saying why, you know, the only reason guys watch horror movies is because there's like models and you care about them and you're invested, which is so stupid. But it's like for this.
Are you telling me that Jamie Lee Curtis was a model in 1978? Look at her. Look at her. Look at Laurie Strode in that movie.
Well, first of all, these people are dumb and they make
no bad totally.
Points. But my point is like Elizabeth Moss is more of like, I think, the everyman of the type of character. Like she's relatable. You believe this woman. They're putting her in a situation that's, I think, more relatable.
She's always been one of those performers who has no vanity.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
And if it serves the role, and she needs to look like crap, she'll look like crap.
Yeah,
you know. There are times in this movie where she looks awful.
Yeah,
and I think there are times in this movie where she looks great.
She looks amazing.
Given what she's going through, both of those things make sense.
I do think it's weird that she's done two characters that didn't know they were pregnant.
I was thinking that too.
I was like, that's a weird thing to double down on, literally.
Yeah. But she's phenomenal. And like, I mean, have any of you guys seen her smell?
No.
I mean, she played.
How could I see a smell?
Yeah.
Well, that's the power of cinema. So, I mean.
Just spraying you in the
I think
face.
I talked about this. It is one of the most stressful, anxiety-ridden movies. I think it's from 2018.
Okay.
But she plays a rock star, and it's like in three different periods of her life. I've talked about it before. It's so stressful because you see her self-destruct. She's the head of
this is about somebody though, right? Like, didn't this get some buzz because it's actually about? Maybe not.
I don't know of that. Maybe it was, but anyway. But she's a part of like a female rock band, and she's huge, popular, and she throws her life away. Like she self destructs with drugs and alcohol. She has a kid, but she's irresponsible. And you watch this woman self destruct, and so you get her all glammed up and her rock stuff, and she's cool and has that confidence because again, she can play anything. Like she's amazing.
Yeah, right.
But this movie, whew, if you want to see a performance, I mean, besides from all the other stuff like Handmaid's Tale, and she's done a great work. But
Mad Men, West Wing.
Oh, she's on the West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. So yeah, if you want to go see another Elizabeth Moss performance,
this is her show.
Yeah.
And she does not miss a beat.
But I should find that. You guys didn't see the thing on Twitter about the guy that tried to explain why it was bad to cast Elizabeth Moss?
Yeah, I saw it. I retweeted the
you did? Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah,
I said this guy's a scumbag.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, that's one stupid person. I mean, most people on the internet.
And it was from Breitbart. I was like, blonk.
I'm signing off. I heard the name Breitbart. No, there was a negative review from Breitbart.
The thing that I retweeted was the Breitbart thing.
Okay.
With a, like, this guy's a moron.
Okay, yeah.
I was like, yeah.
But when you saw where the review came from, you're like,
oh.
Breitbart's reviewing this movie. Like, what?
Yeah. James's daughter wants to go to fashion school, so she sets aside 10 grand every month to, like, an account that will just build up over time so this kid can go to school. So you're again with same thing with the dog. You can tell that this is a loving person and she's just trying to reconnect with these people that Adrian has taken away from her life.
That was really cute with the ladder.
Oh yeah. I like that too.
Cause at first I'm like, okay, they need a ladder. That's cute. And then she's like, well, so you can reach stuff like that letter up there. Like that was a really,
yeah. Cause I'm like, I mean, it's a nice thoughtful gift, but I'm like, but you have also just got millions of dollars. Right.
But
it's like $80 ladder.
But right. I mean, that's, you know, the writing behind this movie. Yeah. Like they do things like that, that catch you off guard. And not only with like the exposition stuff, but they do little moves like that where it humanizes these characters. Like you find out who they are, you like them. They do things that are like, wow, that's a really cute, clever, sweet thing. Like this person, you know, they flesh them out as, you know, and you really want to root for her. There's that you're getting to know her in a very short period of time.
And you are rooting for her like immediately. So she goes and buys herself some clothes, some new clothes that aren't Adrian's that weren't that he didn't buy for her to wear specifically.
He did everything. He controlled what she ate,
right?
What
she said,
wore,
what she thought,
yeah,
right? And this is the first time I got that Paranormal Activity feel where the camera kind of like moves around the room,
yeah,
and you're looking
for proof
something
that he's there,
right? Like, and you know he's there,
yeah,
but you don't know.
This was a fun one to watch because yeah. you are looking, and
right,
yeah,
and
the
that's
first
what
one was
Activity
the dress
did.
Thing because her dress, she hangs it up and then the camera moves around. I think that was the first time you ever
did, but nothing happens.
Did it not?
No,
I
like that's
tell. So
that's
she
the
just
trick
thought, I thought the blinds opened or something.
No, because like she stops and turns around and there's nothing there.
But I couldn't tell if the blinds were closed before. Like,
oh,
at least in
know.
My mind, I'm like, something. Maybe it was just her imagination. But
I'd be interested to see if on repeat viewing.
Yeah, I
want to
watch
if you, can, if you see like little signs.
But
like there's the major sign, like when you see the breath behind her.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But
I want to see little
yes. things that they do.
But that's the Paranormal Activity thing, right? Like in that first movie, they see that static cam in the bedroom and you're just like, oh, the door moves a little bit. Or there's like a wind blow on the sheets or something. So it's like yeah. little things like that that you're looking for. And this one does this the entire time.
Yeah.
Until you get to the reveal. So she goes to the she's making breakfast for the daughter. And all of a sudden, also, I make breakfast for the kids all the time. I never thought to put bacon and eggs in the same pan.
Oh, you cook the eggs, fry them in the bacon grease. It's
delicious.
That's
what I always did.
Oh.
But she's putting the eggs and the bacon together in the same pan, like cooking at the same time. And I was like,
I mean,
why wouldn't you do that?
Because you're not making enough bacon.
That's
yeah,
true.
See? Yeah. And also they cook it different.
That's the flaw in that yeah. theory. What are you, going to have two pieces of bacon for breakfast?
I throw it in the oven.
You pussy.
That's what she's doing. I was just like, well, of course. So she walks away trying to wake up the kid, and all of a sudden you can see the flames grow higher on the on
well the gas turns up
and the so flames it,
yeah
and was it, anyone else like that's a very nice house he lives in, and was anyone else like stressful because like the fire and then spraying the extinguisher everywhere? I'm like, that's gonna be a mess to clean up out of that stovetop and everything.
But I think from my impression is
he got a better alternative.
No, yeah. I know. But I don't know. That stuff gives me anxiety when I think yeah. of how messy something will be and how long it will take to clean up.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's the adult in me is like, God, I knew you're getting old.
He knows how to fix stuff. He's
yeah,
clearly
so
remodeling
that's what,
the
that's
house.
That's what I was gonna say is like, it is a nice house, but I feel like he's responsible. It's a fixer.
He's restoring it.
Right. He's
yes,
restoring it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stuff's covered. And yeah.
Also, if you see the front door was awful. It was all chipped up and beat
to
crap. Like, yeah, the front door was horrible.
Okay.
And so, like, you'd see a room and that looked pretty rough. And then, but then the camera would pan and then, like the kitchen was beautiful.
Very nice.
Which makes sense. If you're, I mean, they always say kitchens and bathrooms are the mm-hmm. best bang for your buck when mm-hmm. you're remodeling your home. There's a little tip from the old guy
yeah, right.
for you new homeowners. But,
did yeah. you also see in that scene? He takes the knife off the counter.
So, did he?
Yeah, because it disappears right off the counter, but he never uses it in that scene. So I was kind of like, and that's what ends up in the attic in
yeah.
the plastic bag.
I remember her picking up the knife,
and I thought she was taking it for protection. I guess I didn't catch that.
Well, no, she was just going to wake up the daughter, and he takes it right off the counter.
Ah.
Okay, because there is a scene later where she's walking around she hears him moving around the house, and she has it in her hand. I just think. I thought, like, okay, now I've got her fingerprints on the knife.
That actually makes way more sense because when you end up seeing the knife in the bag upstairs, she had just left it on the floor next to her on the ground.
Right.
And I'm like, how did he get it and put it in a bag? It's a different knife. That's
right.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm glad you caught that.
But he
that.
Didn't end up using it. I don't know. I didn't kind of know
I think
what he was doing
I
with
think
it.
I think he used it to slit the daughter, the sister's
the
throat.
Sister? Okay.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Because then it would have her hand. Her,
it would already
I
got
guess
her
that,
hand. But he puts
steak,
it right
no,
in her hand.
I think that was just a steak yeah. knife from being
so
in a
like,
restaurant. But he takes that knife to go put in the bag and put in the attic.
That's true.
I think that's what he took it for.
Okay. I guess I felt I was with Tammy as I thought that she had put her fingerprints on it.
No, because he puts it in her hand.
He bags
she was,
it up to set her up.
I mean, she was caught with it like
yeah,
witnesses.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So she goes on this interview and everything's going. Again, the guy kind of says, oh, why'd you go to Paris? All the pretty girls go to Paris. Yeah. And she's
all
like,
the beautiful ladies have to go to Paris.
You want to see my work? And he was like, yeah, I do. And then, of course, she opens up the
portfolio,
and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, everything's gone. She freaks out.
I
hardcore.
Love, like, the. I mean, I don't love. From a movie standpoint,
sure.
I love. How it ratchets up the tension, I love. Just the. the little ways he messes with her. Like, yeah. Like, I mean, it would be really easy to just come in and flat out abuse her.
Right.
Easy from a screenwriting standpoint. I like the fact that they find these little ways to torment her.
Exactly.
Like, oh,
exactly.
You're going to go on this job interview and you're just not going to have your stuff.
Right.
And now you're going to feel like an idiot.
Look like an idiot. And then you're going to pass out because I've been drugging you.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that.
Right. Yeah. So she goes and she has like a panic and anxiety attack. But that's coupled with she passes out like on the floor. So James takes her to the hospital. They do some blood work and everything kind of. She goes home. Like now we're starting all like this whole healing process is starting all over again because she believes that Adrian is not dead.
Yeah.
And you start to think like maybe she is crazy. Like, well, I mean, and you
did
know,
you,
like,
did you catch Chekhov's doctor's call?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, as soon as
I
saw
paying attention,
yeah,
as soon as
she like when she so she goes home, the doctor calls back and says, "Hey, we ran your blood work. The We believe the high amounts of diazepam in your system is what caused
like
the thing."
Like she would know it. Like, yeah, you know, it was probably
and
that.
And she's like, what? And then she's like, hey, there's one more thing. And click. She's like, okay, bye. And yeah. I was like, oh.
Click. I mean, yeah. That, you know. So
and we've already heard her detail that like he would rape her trying to get her pregnant. She was on birth control, so it wouldn't happen.
So, but it's if you're, you know, this movie's smart. Again, if you pay attention, it's just like, I mean, there's not a huge twist so much at the end, but it's like Sixth Sense when you go back and watch and you're like, oh, look at all that stuff there.
Yeah.
With this movie, they set up a lot of the stuff and tell you.
They set up the end a lot.
And that's a smart script.
It's not easy to do. It's not easy to do and keep it to the way like you don't like there's a big.
Did you catch Tom when the doctor said one more thing click and she didn't
listen? No, I did not
it.
Catch that. Yeah.
So yeah, that was really clever. She was so freaked out about the diazepam. She didn't listen. And the doctor very faintly off screen kind of is like, oh, and one more thing. And she just hangs up the phone. And so they plant it right there. There was one other thing the doctor had to tell her about blood work.
Right.
And as someone who has a wife that's currently pregnant, you know, I mean, you're used to blood work and like hearing what a doctor would tell you in blood work. So I'm like,
I wonder what that could be.
Yeah.
Well, and me and my cousin both looked at each other and said she was pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It was a well played not
so very
reveal.
You know very Hitchcockian.
That's what I'm saying. Like this is like
things.
The Paranormal Activity stuff with the Hitchcock stuff, and then when we get to the crazy action stuff, they throw in a little upgrade.
So was she supposed to have already been pregnant, or okay? Because I like at first I thought he was using the diazepam to make her like a roofie and then had raped her.
No, I took it as she was already pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, the doctor said she was very early on, maybe a month.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so
this is 2 weeks
right
later,
between.
So yes.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she goes, this is where the diazepam bottle from the beginning of the movie is up on her medicine, or her kitchen counter, and she freaks out and she tells James, she's like, we gotta go talk to this douchebag lawyer.
Yeah, she's like, he's doing it. He's, you know, she sounds like a crazy person. Like, if we weren't in a movie and one of you was like,
totally,
my ex is haunting me, what would you say about that person? Right. They are insane.
And she's like, so good at play of like playing this line of like, the obviously the film viewer believes her, but you also get why people don't. And she does come off as like, she's not like crazy, but you also get that why
something happened,
why it reads as crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
And it, like, it's just really threading
the
needle.
This is, and that's not, again,
I mean, this movie's very fortunate to have, I mean, an Oscar caliber actress. I mean,
is she nominated? She got nominated, didn't she?
Did she? I don't know if she's ever been for what.
That's a good question.
I mean, most of her work's been in TV.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know,
did she win an Emmy?
God, she almost
probably
has to
Mad Men,
yeah, okay. But I mean, I think it's only a matter of time before she gets an Oscar.
Especially,
I mean, she's so good.
If you're watching again this independent stuff, like her smelling these movies, like she's doing some heavy lifting.
I feel like
these.
This is on the level of Toni Collette in Hereditary.
But it will be forgotten.
People are saying, do not start promoting this until 7 months from now.
I totally agree. Yes, but if you look at Toni Collette's performance in Hereditary, and she should have been nominated.
Yeah, she was
this
great.
This is on
but
the level.
Horror's absolutely overlooked. That's why you
totally
have to.
Totally agree.
They're like, this is the Lupita Nyong'o in Us. It's the same situation.
Also starring Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah.
She is a very small part of that.
She also came out in February.
It did, And it's a completely different character.
Yeah.
Like, she's that, you know, posh, not posh, but like, yuppie rich mom.
So Elizabeth Moss was nominated for an Emmy for Mad Men four times, looks like she had five nominations, but she would never won. She won for Outstanding Actress for Handmaid's Tale.
Ah, that makes sense.
She won a Golden Globe for Handmaid's Tale and for Top of the Lake, which I never saw.
I think that was like a cop show. It was like, yeah, she's a detective in, was it like New Zealand or Australia or something? Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, but she got it for Handmaid's Tale, which is probably...
Is that over? That's still going?
Handmaid's Tale? Going.
No, it's still going.
Yeah. Okay. But I think, you know, that's probably like, I mean, Handmaid's Tale is great, but probably also is like, she got nominated all this time for Mad Men. She was great on that show. So,
yeah. What a character turn for that character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You never thought she was going to, never. She was that mousy, quiet Peggy.
But that scene, did you watch Mad Men, Tammy?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that scene that where she's like walking out of there.
Yep.
Walking out of whatever, I'm forgetting the
Dunder name. Mifflin.
Yeah, Dunder Mifflin. When she's walking out of there with her box of stuff and her sunglasses and the cigarettes to the job that's going to pay her fat cash.
Uh-huh.
She's
cool.
Like, you all can suck it.
Yep.
Like, I'm a...
She's so good. She's
such
so
a
good
great
She's
show.
Great. Yeah. She's great.
So, yeah. So, she's starting... She seems to start to unravel. And maybe she's not, right? Because she's very normal. But everything that's happening to her is not normal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So... This is where the brother shows her pictures of Adrian on the floor with his wrist slit.
She goes back with her friend and she's like,
I'm going to tell you something and you just have to believe me. Like, you have to believe
me. Well, like, he doesn't even know why they're at the meeting with the lawyer. He's like, but I don't know why we're here, but she's my friend and I believe her.
Right.
And then she's like, yeah, Adrian is messing with me. He's not dead.
And the guy is like, he's invisible. And
this guy. The looks that he gets without having to say anything, just his reaction.
He's really good.
He's the audience surrogate. He's the, if you didn't know what was going on.
right.
He's such a bystander and it's like he loves and cares about his friend, but like, you know.
Right. And it's not good. Like, it's not ending well for Elizabeth Moss's character. Like, she is starting to unravel. I'm trying to think, is this where she goes? Does she go back to does she go to Adrian's house?
Not next. Quite yet, I don't think. So they show the picture, and he's like, he's in that urn over there.
Right.
But then he ends up, like, she doesn't believe him, and he's like, look. And they show the picture of him blood all over the ground and everything. Like, he's dead.
Right.
And then...
Something else happens at the house. Like, she's crumpled up in the ball, and, like, the daughter comes in.
Because
the ex-boyfriend sent... the email to the sister
and
her saying
all
sorts of crappy things.
Right. She goes to see her sister and the sister is not happy about it. And she basically, Emily, I think was the sister's name, lays it out and just is like, if you didn't want me around or didn't want all this other crap, like, why did you keep me? And Elizabeth Moss has no idea what she's talking about. She goes, Elizabeth Moss, finally the sister's like, get the F out. Like, I don't want to talk to you. Get out of here. It seems like they maybe... like that she may have or that Adrian may have sent her money, like hush money. Because she says at one point, I didn't want your money. I don't know. I could be misreading that, but I'm pretty sure that she says, I didn't want your money. If you didn't want me in your life, you could have just said so.
I think she was just alluding to the fact that
she now has all this money.
That she has the money.
Well,
yeah,
he wrote that in the email to her.
Yeah. Right? Like, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's what I think what she's inferring. Like,
smothering
the fake email. And... Yeah, all that about you want my money and everything was in the email.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So she goes home and she opens up her computer and there's the email.
Yeah.
Like, and she knows this is, she even says, she's like, this is what he does. Like, this is his MO.
And like, who can blame her for breaking down? If you had all this happening and you might even think you're crazy and then your family's turning against you and your friends don't believe you.
Right.
And like, she's a mess and he's ruining her life.
He's doing exactly what he did before. Yeah. Like, he's starting to isolate her again.
Yeah.
So she's on the floor, and this is where the daughter comes in. This was the only part that I had a problem with.
Okay.
So they're on the floor, and the daughter's like, let's have pizza and
wine.
Girls'
night. Yeah.
Girls' night and make a joke. And then the distance, maybe it's just the way the camera was, but I feel like the distance between Elizabeth Moss and the daughter is too great for the daughter to have believed that Elizabeth Moss hit her.
But I don't think, I mean, she wasn't looking straight at her and she got hit hard.
Yeah.
I think she's disoriented.
Maybe,
like,
that could be.
What else would you explain
What other explanation are you going to have?
Totally.
Like when you're not you're not going to be like, well, there's probably an invisible guy in there punching the face. Probably, you're right. In the room with one other person. You get punched in the face.
That's,
you know.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
But I just don't think she was looking at her. Like, the problem was she was, like, turning to go out or something. You know what I mean? Like, I remembered she wasn't like, hey, look at you, and then invisible punch. It was right. Like, turn away or looking down, and all of a sudden,
got
boom.
Crocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the James comes in. He's like, I got to get her somewhere safe. Like, you, she is my priority.
Yeah, the daughter's like, she hit me.
Right.
Like,
yeah. She
up.
Punched me in the face. So they leave. And this is where Elizabeth Moss kind of calls out Adrian. She's like, I know you're in the house. And he just starts. And this is very Paranormal Activity, where she has the knife in her hand. This is the scene where she's got the second knife. And he's beating the crap out of her.
Yeah.
And I think it's really impressive. CG is the only thing that it can be, is it's Elizabeth Moss playing against nothing. I assume that there's some tricks and wires, but she's still
because
playing against
no
one.
Because she's not CG. Like, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
she's definitely real.
Like that's what helps, because this is an extraordinary thing to be happening, right? She's floating in the air. And if it were just like CG, like they do in a lot of the CG crap fest, you'd be like, that looks really dumb.
Right.
But the fact that it's like her, and however they're racing wires or however they're getting her up there, but it's her, you know, it made
it
more believable.
This is very Upgrade.
There was a physicality to it. And I almost wondered if, like in the pulling scenes and stuff, if there was a person in a green suit.
Like in a green suit,
because
they just erased them. I was
and like, she was hitting something physical, because her motions and whatever she was acting off
looked
seemed so
real.
And she would take those plates and hit them, and then they would.
I think those are CG.
Yeah,
those looked CG to me.
Well, that looked really good.
It was really good, but the CG shatter, I think, was CG. But the interaction was too believable to be like her hitting the air. I don't know. Maybe it was just great, but I think it almost was a person, because otherwise, like, how do you really pull like that, and how do you get it to look physically like? If her foot was just on a wire or something, it would look different. You know, your eye would be like, physics don't work like that.
Right.
But the way her body moved was like a person was pulling. So,
right. Yeah. It could have been. That's very possible.
But look at the practical effects in this movie. Look at when people's throats get cut. Look at when blood actually stains the carpet around them and stuff, and it's not that fake CG blood,
right?
Like, I mean, I know there is some when it gets crazy, but look at all the physical he uses.
I don't think that it is.
But actually, you guys skipped the whole part with the bedroom, with the covers. That's right.
Yeah.
Those footprints and the covers that was creepy.
Yeah.
You know?
Again, that this is Paranormal Activity. Like it's the same.
He's messing with it. There's some stuff that I guess was in the trailers that didn't get in the movie,
which was good.
And I liked it. They don't spoil everything. Yeah. It is good. But I like that probably for this movie, they had all these ideas of how he would mess with her. And like, it's almost like filming a bunch of vignettes. Like, how could he mess with her? He could do this, he could do this, and do this. And they don't end up using them all. But I bet they were just trying to brainstorm, how could this guy mess with her?
Yeah, right.
And then whatever makes it the best ones.
Yeah.
So,
but like Tammy said, like there was the whole scene where she's sleeping in the same bed as the daughter, and like the covers get pulled off, and somebody starts taking pictures. And then when Elizabeth Moss is cold, she goes to get the blankets, and it's stuck.
Yeah,
like, and all you can see are the footprints into the blanket, and it's just like moving towards her, and then she makes
that's
a sound.
Creepy.
And
the suspense in this movie, I mean, it really, they're really creepy moments.
Yeah,
all
very
these
much
things
so.
Are suspenseful. And like, I found myself like being, even though, again, you tell yourself it's a movie, whatever, but in the IMAX, you got the loud sound.
Oh, yeah.
And the score is really good. The
score is really
good. And I'm like, this
score is like a weird mix of a 1933 Universal monster movie, but with like synth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's got
I was wondering if the score might have been an homage somehow. Like, I'm not familiar enough with the original movie to know the score, and I was just wondering if it was somehow.
I think it could be pretty close. So she decides, she's like, I know he's in this house. So she decides to call his cell phone, and what does she hear? But it starts buzzing in the house, and she realizes that it's coming from the attic.
This is after she did all that coffee stuff and everything, right?
Yeah, she basically put herself into a corner
so
she could see his footsteps, and she decides finally, she's like, let's just try this.
Yeah.
And she calls, and of course she climbs up.
The ceiling's buzzing.
She climbs up in the attic, and she finds her portfolio. She finds the knife, and then she finds a cell phone. And the cell phone has a text message that says surprise.
And it's like, you know, he's there. The suspense behind the scene. Yeah. It is so psychological. I mean, this
big
is that
time.
Thriller part of it where you're just like, where's he going to be? He's going to be there any moment. And the way she hits him with that paint, it's
well,
like,
yeah. So she leans over the like the hole for the attic.
And it's a slow lean where you're like, when's it going to pop up? When's it going
to
pop up?
It's also a really creepy shot where it's shot from the floor to the ceiling.
Yeah.
And all you see is like her head
slowly starting to peek out.
Slide over the top.
And then she
takes, I guess, I don't know, does he make a sound? Or does she just take the paint?
I think she just rolls the dice. Oh, okay. That's how I took it.
But the score, then is like, it makes a crazy noise. And it
was loud. Throws the bucket of white paint, and you can see an outline of something, of a person.
That's a great scare.
Yeah.
So
she
follows him
she
down.
She follows him down.
Down.
He takes off.
The paint looks horrible.
It did not look good.
It looks like a golf ball.
It did look like a golf ball.
You don't know why at the time.
Yeah, because of all his div.
No. I mean, the way the paint splashes and it looked milky. It didn't look like paint to me. Yeah, like, I thought the paint was CGI and not done very well.
Right. I thought the same thing when he gets the paint on him. I was like, hey, it looks like a golf
ball. That's the problem when you use CGI. See, because the Invisible Man is all CGI. You can tell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean, every movement, you can tell what CGI. It's good
CGI.
I
didn't think he looked bad. I mean, the actual paint splatter.
Oh, I know. But he is.
Yeah.
Don't be mistaken. I mean, he is CGI.
I just mean
that's the problem. Is anytime you use full CGI, like with the paint or like with the Invisible Man, when he is walking, you're like, that's fake. I wish they could have done a real suit with maybe some enhancements, but I guess that's just harder to do.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah.
So yeah, we should. I'm gonna try to burn through this real quick.
Yeah.
So. She realizes that he's there. She gets out of the house. She jumps in an Uber, takes the Uber back to
real quick though. She stepped out of the house, touched the phone, and the Uber was there. Yeah.
That Uber was quick.
I turned to my friend and I said, "Did I miss something?" I'm like, "I saw," and he's like, "Oh no, she called for an Uber." I'm like, "Yes, I know, but she pressed the button on her phone and the car pulled up.
Maybe he was right around the corner.
I don't understand.
In New York City, yes.
Yeah.
So anyway,
in the suburbs of San Francisco.
I'm not crazy that thing just pulled up when she pressed the button. Okay.
So she goes back to the old house and she's looking around and there are all kinds of signs that he's still there.
It was all covered up though. I mean, everything had sheets over it. I mean, it did look very deserted.
It did, but
I think the fact that the electricity was still on.
Yeah, right. So she goes.
You don't
into
pay
his...
the electricity bill.
Yeah, but it's only been a month.
Well, I know, but if someone's in charge of your estate and stuff, I just don't know that an abandoned place you'd have electricity on.
No, you
would if you're going to sell it. You
will. I mean, you still want the heat to run. You still want the
frozen pipes.
You know, if you're going to show it, people want to walk in and look at the house and have the lights go.
Well, then to me, it looked very abandoned. Like,
yeah.
Because the only thing for me is I'm like, why would the electricity be on? But other than that, it's like they had sheets on everything you do when, you know.
Which, again, great scenes.
Yeah.
Where you're like, well, maybe he's under one of those sheets.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Is he there? Did he catch up already?
Right.
Yeah, it's freaky.
So,
She
finds the suit and she deactivates the suit and we see it like it's a very Marvel-esque where like the cameras turn off and you can see the suit take.
But what an interesting technology that they've invented for this movie, like, because you're thinking, okay, how can someone be invisible? And you're wondering if it's chemicals or whatever, and it's not, it's technology. But the suit is comprised of all these little patches, like, I don't know if they're,
you know,
polygons.
That's what the suit the Star Cruisers in Avengers was, right?
Really?
It was the same thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But it's like each of them is like little triangles or polygons, whatever shape it was, but it has a camera and a display.
Right.
So like it's a stealth suit.
It reflects everything
that
back.
Essentially,
it's filming
taking,
and then projecting
right.
in real time.
Yeah.
And so even though that's a crazy sci-fi technology, but look at all the stuff that used to be crazy and now we use, like it's with that technology, it's believable that someone could maybe invent that someday.
Yeah. Sure.
And so we find out this is the first time you realize what is actually happening.
What it is. So she takes the suit and she goes and puts it back where she hid her go bag. Mm-hmm. And this is where she hides. And then all of a sudden you see her footsteps and then you see like the footsteps in the mm-hmm. carpet. And she bolts, like she takes off and
they
jumps
have
over
fight,
there.
Don't they? The dog holds
the
them
dog
off.
Comes back.
That's right. The dog holds it, fights him off. And I was like, oh, we're going to lose that dog. He doesn't care about that dog.
I'm glad they didn't show
him
fighting it because
I
think 10 years ago, the dog would go flying.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays, like, people don't want to
see that.
So, dog was holding.
Unless it was a CG dog.
Then we want to see it because it was so poorly done.
Yeah, right.
It's the dog from Call of the
That's
Wild.
That's what I'm saying.
He's getting work.
So she takes off. She calls her. We don't know who she calls. Asks her to meet somewhere public.
I thought it was going to be the brother.
I thought it was the brother.
She's already burned her bridges with the sister. Like, I'm thinking, okay, the brother's going to meet her, but lo and behold.
But here comes the sister. And the sister has a moment of clarity where she's like, man, there is something wrong. Like, there's something very wrong. And as they're talking, you see the, like, it's done, like, over Elizabeth Moss's shoulder, right? And then you see the look on her sister's face being like, what the what is that?
And then
and then here comes this knife and just slits her throat.
Oh my gosh.
And then it was just like, this was the other part. I was like, why did you catch it?
What?
She catches the knife.
No, or do you think it's in her hand?
Yeah, he forces it into her hand.
So
yeah.
The way it looks is like I thought he threw it. I was like, why did she use her
force power? Yeah. It looks like a force holding a lightsaber, right? Like it clings to her hand.
Yeah, right. No. But I thought it was because then she does wrap her hands around it. She was in shock, dude. Yeah, that's probably
true. She just saw her sister die by an invisible knife person in front. You know what I mean? Like she couldn't move. You'd be in complete shock.
Sure, totally.
So
they arrest her. They take her to jail. And I think it was weird that James was sitting on the interrogation. I was like, that wouldn't be
a thing. I thought that was a little much.
And maybe he asked to be in
there. Yeah, they're too close. That would not be a thing.
Unless they thought he could get information out of her because she would trust him. I don't know. Was that another lawyer
or a prosecutor?
I couldn't tell. Those are both cops.
Yeah, it should be a prosecutor in there at this point.
I just didn't know.
Should still be cops.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and she says, I have all of the information, but I can't tell you anything.
Yeah.
Like, and she seems like a crazy person.
Now she seems crazy.
She's like, I know how he did it. Okay, what? I can't tell you.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Like
he's
right.
This is in the room.
He's in the room. And he is.
Yeah.
Like he's in the corner. You know, he's in the corner.
Yeah.
So she's put in jail and she's put in like a sanitarium, basically. And this is where the lawyer brother shows back up.
Skeezy McGee.
And he's like,
he's so good.
Because like there are moments, right? Like there's the second time she goes to see him. And he's sympathetic.
Like, yeah.
He's
and you're like
he got me too.
Okay. Then maybe he's okay. And that would make sense.
Right.
The story he's telling.
Yeah.
You know, and
he reminds me of a mix between Armie Hammer and Cary Elwes or whatever.
I can see that.
Like those two, he seemed like.
Didn't they want Armie Hammer to play the Invisible Man originally?
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, I thought so.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, he was one of them.
Yeah.
This guy just looked like kind of like a skinny.
You know who he looks like? Is the young Man in Black from Westworld.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia guy.
Yeah, yeah, right.
He also kind of looks like a young version of the guy from Mad Men and Chernobyl.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. So he sits down and he was like, look, part of the contingency is you can't be charged with a crime. That's out the window. You can't be deemed mentally incompetent. And that's next. He's like, but I can make all of this go away. If you just sign the paperwork and agree to have the baby, because while she's being like at the intake, the doctor's like, did you know you were like, how far along are you? And she deals with Moss.
That's
like,
when
I'm
revealed.
Sorry. What?
Yeah. To the audience. That's when it's revealed. If you couldn't guess it from earlier.
Right.
But then, yeah, it's like he already knows about this. And then he says, and go back to him.
Yeah.
And then you're just
keep the baby and go back. She's like, did you think he would, like, of all people, he wouldn't know that you were taking birth control? He's like, he replaced those. You were taking something else. And I was like, oh, shit, something else. What could that have been? I assume it's just a placebo. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
So this is the turn for her where she is going to outsmart Adrian. She knows that Adrian wants to have this baby. So she's like, you know what? F it. Nope. Not going to happen.
That brother's name is Michael Dorman, the actor.
Oh, okay.
Just if anyone else, I'm not too familiar with his work. He was in Daybreakers, Patriot, a TV show, Triangle, a movie, and Killer Elite. So,
all right.
I don't know.
Good for him.
But yeah.
Glad
he was really good at playing a skeezy.
Really good.
Yeah.
So she goes in the shower. She turns the shower on a hot water. And I was like, I know what we're doing. And she takes she had stolen one of the brother's pens and
an old timey fountain pen that's really sharp.
Yeah. So she takes it and she goes.
Did she cut her arm or did it just
she
look like
she slits her own wrist.
Yeah.
So
and she wraps it up.
It never came back really to her. Like if you really did that,
you could see her. She's got it wrapped up later.
But she's running around with it not wrapped up. That's
a pretty big
wound.
She went in pretty good.
That's why I thought maybe it was fake.
Went deep and down.
Yeah,
like that's
the way to go.
You bleed out. Like that's how you die.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand that. And then when they showed her arm, it looked more black. Like I was thinking ink.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know.
Either way, it tipped off Adrian.
Well, sure enough.
Well,
who we forced him to show his hand.
Yeah.
Who we think is Adrian.
Right.
So big fight. This is where she stabs him a bunch of times with the pen and then like the
Wait
suit.
A minute, who we think is Adrian.
It's not Adrian. This isn't Adrian.
I think it still
is.
I think it's only not Adrian
at
the house.
Yes. That's a head fake at the very end.
Oh,
to make it look
like she, when does she shoot? They're in the,
The suits is broken. The guy at the end doesn't have a broken suit.
I know, but the guy that she stabs is not Adrian.
Yes.
It's the brother.
Yeah, that's no. Adrian. Because Adrian no way gets he shot. Made it from the sanitarium to James and Sydney's house. It, you know, like she's not even there. They leave at the same time and there's. He's already there.
Follow the suit. The suit gets shot.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
He gets. You're right. I guess I thought that he gets shot in the sanitarium.
No,
but he gets shot,
at James's house.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the fact is, though, that remember, Adrian's suit is all messed up at this point.
Right.
And the guy at the house had a full functioning suit.
That's right.
Which shows
you.
So, yeah, it's still him. And that thing at the end is all a head fake.
Right. Oh, no. I know that. But I guess I got to confuse where.
Yeah, because where I thought we were going is they were going to set up the brother to be the villain.
I thought Adrian was dead the whole time, and I
thought Adrian was alive. I thought what we were going to do is the
brother.
The movie was going to end with her killing Adrian, but the brother would be set up to be the Invisible Man in the sequel.
Right. I mean, I didn't think it for long, but I thought that's where they were going. Yeah. Was they were once he turned bad and everything, and I'm like, well, he showed a picture of dead Adrian. Maybe Adrian's dead, and the brother's crazy, and he's take like.
But it's like, but
they want you to think that.
I thought
too,
that for a split second, but then I was like, why would the brother want her to have
the money,
the brother's baby?
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
why would
he to continue? Is
yeah, but that gets him even further away from the money.
It was just a thought. I'm like, I think they want you to think that maybe that
Tom just broke his microphone. So this is upgrade.
This is crazy. This is like bonkers violence.
It is amazing.
Floating gun, just shooting people left and right.
Yeah, like guy takes the gun, shoots him in his own knee, which I was like, ugh!
And this is all because the suit got messed up when she stabbed him. And so the guard is like, what's going on in here? And he
sees
him.
Everybody can see
it. And she's finally got witnesses.
Yeah. Yes, right. And I was like, when in the whole, this whole old boy style scene.
And people will believe her now because men have seen it.
Right. And there's video.
There is
video
floating
footage.
Guns. And then there, that's why they left the guy alive outside.
Right.
Which was smart.
Right. So they, there's a big fight like in the parking lot where she's like trying to, you know, there's, it's raining, of course. So
which is the only way to see, you know, I mean, if he was invisible, I thought they were going because it's Chekhov's weather alert.
Yeah, you do see that. That's
they say
true.
A big storm's
right.
coming, and so you know rain will be there.
Right.
But then his suit's messed up, so I guess
it didn't really matter.
Need it, but I think that was kind of where they were.
Yeah, but I think that's the whole point, right? Like, is they tell you the storm's coming, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The storm doesn't matter. So he basically says, he's like, you have this baby, or I'm going to hurt somebody, and that little girl is going to die because of you. So she calls James, she's like, get your ass to the house. Like, the kid is there. Like, Adrian is going to the house. So the James shows up, and there's a big fight there. And it basically, they shoot him. They kill the Invisible Man, who you think is the Invisible. They pull the mask off, and it's the brother. And so she goes. This is where I was like, okay. But then we go back to the police station. And James is like, look, we've got the story. Like, just shut up about the Adrian. She's like, because she's adamant that it was not the brother.
Yeah.
It's Adrian. It's been Adrian the whole time.
And he's like, that's great. Keep that to yourself.
Shut
up. But the only way, like, you want to get out of jail and get your freedom, we've got a dead body. Like, it was him.
Right. So we see the report that they find Adrian and, like, chained up in this crawl space under his house. And he's freaking out. And
this, I think it's really a testament to this guy being a master manipulator.
Yeah.
We haven't hardly seen any of him. Like we said earlier, this is all based on her accounts.
Right.
And then you see this guy that looks presumably innocent tied up. And you're like, God, this guy is good.
And that's what they do.
Is what they do.
They're the victim.
And she says that.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we see him really talking, acting, and you don't know what to trust because again, you don't know. And it's like, do you believe this woman? Right.
Right.
Is the whole thing. Like, she's told you all this, she's been through all this, but he looks like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
and he was locked in a basement.
He was locked in a basement the whole time.
Yeah.
So she calls him. Like, finally, she breaks down and she calls him and she agrees to meet him for dinner. And this is the scene where he's like,
and this is only because she says to James, like, as long as he's out there, like, none of us are safe.
None of us are safe. So she goes to, she agrees to, and she looks fantastic. Like this, I have a feeling this is how he would wanted her to dress.
All
the time.
Totally. It's also how the guy that writes for Breitbart wants her to dress.
Yeah. No kidding.
They have a lot in common.
Yeah. So she said, you know, he's like, I didn't know what you wanted to eat. So I got steak and I got, you know, seafood and I got this.
Being
I got
all
that.
Charming. And you
right.
know,
and
yeah.
she's like, I'll take steak. And he was like, good choice. I was like, ugh, even already, like we're already starting.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what he wanted her to pick.
Yeah.
So they sit down and he's fumbling over his words and
they show you the camera footage. They show you the stream. Yeah, they keep they cut to it,
cutting
so you know
to the security camera.
Oh yeah. The camera.
Right. And then we flash back to James, and James is sitting in a car. We find out that she's trying to get him to confess. She's trying.
She's wearing a wire,
and he just won't do it. He won't. He's like, I know you're upset, and I'm sorry.
He won't admit to it. He's like, that wasn't me.
And finally, I think he says, it wasn't me. And she's like, that's it. We're done.
No, she says, he goes up to her and he's like, I just want you to be comfortable or whatever. And something, and he says, surprise.
Yes, that's what it was.
The key word, which is what surprise. He said in the attic on the phone. And so she didn't do anything until that's all she needed to 100%. She was 99.9.
Right.
And when he says surprise, that was his creepy, clever way of
to let her know
implicating himself without
implicating himself. Yeah. So she goes,
powder my nose or
she
whatever,
goes to the bathroom, and all of a sudden you see, like, he kind of sits down, and this is where his face changes, right? Like, this is the scene in the trailer where he's eating the steak, but his face is just dead.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no emotion on his face. He's just going through the motions of knowing he has to eat food, right? And then all of a sudden his hand with a knife in it comes up and it turns and it just slits his own throat. Oh. And she walks in and she starts screaming, and all of a sudden here comes James, and she looks at the kid.
She calls 911,
does the whole thing,
and then like backs out of view of the camera.
Because we've
established from the very first scene of this movie, she knows where all the cameras are.
Right.
And when she's out of the shot of the security cam, she just completely like goes back to like, nah, I'm good.
Yep, and sits down and so just good. Watches him.
What a badass move!
Oh yeah, big time. Big dick energy.
This is the moment.
Yeah, sits down, watches him. She does have a final word.
She says surprise.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah,
and she
just
watches him bleed out, and he knows that she got him and was the better of him, and she just watches that and talk about gore though. I mean,
just blood pouring out of his neck,
and practical effects. I mean, you can tell it's got that physicality to it, where it's like they really did some of those, and I think this guy being a big horror guy, and he knows the value of practical.
So she walks out, and James is running up the up.
He
the
heard
walk.
It all happen, and
right.
Then,
and they have a moment where
he's pissed.
He is very pissed.
Yeah. And she's like, he killed himself. It's okay.
And she goes, he's like, what happened? What happened? And she starts to explain. And he looks down, and inside this bag she's carrying is the suit. She kind of says, she's like, you hurt him. Yeah. We were never going to get anywhere. Like, he killed himself. And he was
they
like,
have an agreement. This okay. is about, he's still very hesitant, but he's a cop, and it's not the right thing to do legally.
Well,
but
she lied to get him there.
Yeah. Right. Like, she got him there on purpose.
She got him there under the pretense.
She pulled an Adrian.
Yeah, she got him there under the pretense of, we're going to get him to confess, and you'll get it on tape.
It's either you'll get him to confess or...
But I don't think she told him plan B.
No.
No, of course not.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he feels like he got duped. Yeah.
Right.
Because he did.
And so that's her setup. She's got the suit.
She walks up the steps, and there's like a moment where she takes a big breath, and it's all over.
She's free.
Finally. Exactly. And that's how it ends. This was
so
amazing.
Good.
Phenomenal.
This was... it's funny when you look at The Mummy... And then you look at this one, and you're like, "What were you doing?"
Same distributor. Other than that, they just have DNA. But they're totally different.
But this isn't as good as it is, and as well as it's doing at the box office, it's not going to be a $700 million worldwide movie.
No,
and that's what they were trying to do.
Correct.
And so, like that. So that's the problem.
Yes,
they didn't want. To make this level of movie, they wanted to make that level of movie with the Mummy,
right?
And they wanted their own, Avengers.
They did,
and they didn't get it. And I think part of what they lost sight of is the fact that these movies were never the level of Avengers. They were always
kind of schlocky
B movies.
Yeah,
they were the literal definition of B movies.
Yep.
And that's okay. They were really good B movies, and people had great love for them. But like, let them live at that level, but in the modern day.
And guess what? You're gonna make money.
Yeah,
you know, like if you put out a good product, people are gonna show up, and maybe not the people on the Universal Monster board. Maybe they won't show up, but you're not making a movie for them,
right?
Right? Like, you're making a movie for people like us.
How many of them are there anyway?
not much left.
Right.
This, you know? This will have legs, though.
For
this,
sure.
I mean, yep. It had a great opening, yeah. $28 million.
It's the kind of movie people
go back to
and tell their friends about. Like, oh, you got to go see this.
You could do a repeat viewing on this.
Yeah.
So did this surprise you, Tammy? Do you like it a lot more than you thought you would?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be more of just a jump scares. And yeah. Even if there were there, they made sense.
They were there
just to make you jump.
Right. They earned every one of those jump scares and every
it
one
was
of
like
those
three.
And every one of them worked. And it worked a lot.
It worked very well.
Yeah.
And Lee Winnell, who wrote and directed this, again, like, that dude.
Congratulations, dude. Like, this is your coming out party.
I mean, he's got it made. I mean, I know he's been working for 10 years doing good stuff, but, like, this guy is a name that people know now in the industry. You know, people, movie lovers are going to start.
This is the guy you should have gotten for Doctor Strange. Like, given the track record they have of, like, not big names.
Right,
doing the stuff that they want to do. This
they moneyball it.
Yep,
with the directors and even the actors a lot of times.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested to see, like, because I'm assuming based on how well it's doing, we'll get more of these.
Yeah,
where it goes, because now that she's in possession of the suit and the boyfriend's dead, like,
does she get the money?
The logical, well, I would assume so because he is dead. So
right.
It would be that should reinstate the
correct
the will. The will, right?
Uh-huh.
But. If she's going to have the suit, then does she become a villain?
I would think she's going to use it for good.
What good
but
do
then
you
that's
do
not much
it,
of
though.
A like of
criminals.
A horror thriller movie kind of a thing.
But if she's tracking criminals and stuff, I mean, I'm just spitballing here,
but
she's going to use it to be able to infiltrate places. I mean,
yeah, I guess just now it becomes a superhero movie instead of, like, you know, horror or thriller. And so, like, I agree that, like, that seems to be the direction you would trend, but now you've got a totally different genre of movie.
Yeah.
But normally the way these work is if you become, like, the Invisible Man, it drives you crazy.
There's a third brother.
Right. Yeah, like, that would be lame.
And the other two are still alive.
Yeah. But I don't want to see her become the villain.
Or
it undermines this film.
He saves Adrian. James saves Adrian at the last second because he can't do it.
That's so lame.
No,
I'm just saying though. Like, I totally agree that he should be dead. But if you're gonna do it, I feel like James has the struggle.
I mean, they
could
do that, but like that they didn't even hint at it here. It's such lazy retconning.
I agree. It is a Halloween Resurrection level.
Yeah,
totally. There's a finality to this movie.
There is.
And
I agree.
It's earned, and she gets it. And if he comes back to haunt her, but now she has I can't see it going that way. I just can't. But like, you know, this can live on its own. That's the great part.
He's a vampire.
Yeah, this isn't setting up. There's no Nick Fury at the end. There's no post-credit scenes. They're not trying to make a universe.
Right.
So Blumhouse said this isn't a part of a universe. They weren't doing any of that. Now, if this does really well and they decide to, I mean, the future's unwritten. But the great thing about it is if it ends like this, I mean, this movie has it all. It's got the characters, the story.
Yeah.
It's compelling. She gets her moment. It's earned. And it's like, wow. And never see anything from these people again. And like, this movie is awesome.
What if I'm wondering if maybe... if they do this, maybe James is your through line. Maybe James somehow gets wrangled into a vampire movie or I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Not that he's, you know, but like somehow he always gets tangled up in some weird, wacky scheme.
Or I'm thinking like Elizabeth Moss is the Invisible Man is the Nick Fury that would get all like that would connect the dots. And maybe these monster movies aren't going to be about her. She doesn't
she
go on adventures.
The
but,
architect.
Yes.
Right.
Because she's an architect.
Literally,
she's an
architect. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, that'd be a cool way to do it where she can use her invisible suit to get into places to, like, contact these other people. And that's an idea. But,
maybe. But
copyright, this was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was perfect.
So, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21. Also, I did a guest spot on the St. Louis Blues hockey podcast. I have no idea when it's going to be up. Search it on iTunes or any other podcast publications. So I just did the most recent episode yesterday.
Those are the Stanley Cup champs.
So it is.
Even if you don't live in St. Louis, I mean, you got to recognize, right?
Yeah. You got to recognize.
So this is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. If you join the League of Show Sharers, you could run into our guest, Tammy Sherman Powers.
Yeah.
I like to say your whole name. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, Tammy Sherman Powers. Yeah.
Do you go? Do you ever? I mean, do you just go by Tammy Powers?
Yeah.
Okay.
We love the somebody looking for you on Facebook only knew your maiden name.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's pretty slick. Pretty yeah. slick.
Although I guess yeah, Tammy Powers. That's a pretty.
That's a BA name.
That's She's a pretty baller.
International
name.
Woman of Mystery.
Yeah.
Oh well, when I had my daughter, my brother would beg me to name my daughter either Mystical or Magical.
Yeah.
You're like, unfortunately, I didn't.
I appreciate that you did not do that to your daughter.
You're like, I'd like her to get a job one day. I know somebody whose last name was Hipperson, and they named their son Avery.
Avery Hipperson.
A very oh hip person.
A very hip person.
Oh, wow. My God.
Yeah.
That poor dude.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay. I'm like, you've been working on that your entire life.
I got it. You've if I could just yeah. talk somebody into letting me do it.
Yeah. Now, are they a very hip person?
I mean, I don't hang out with his kids.
I don't know. I just didn't know if you had known. I mean, followed.
But he's not.
So it lends to reason.
So based on genetics,
right?
The mom's cool though, so maybe I don't know.
Is that Joe Hipperson?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Joe Hipperson. Yeah. So anyway, that's it for this one. Coming up next week, are we doing Onward or The Way Back?
Oh, what's The Way Back?
The way back? I don't
no,
know.
It's the way it's back. Affleck.
It's the Affleck basketball movie.
Oh,
it's Affleck and Hoosiers.
The biopic of Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I vote for Onward, but
that's what I vote for too. That's what I can take my kid to. So
yeah. So, but we'll figure it out, and we'll let you know as it goes live. You'll
yes,
know.
You'll
as,
know
as you're downloading it. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Tommy gets a blood transfusion from Lou.
I'm the Invisible Man. Incredible how you can see right through me. When you hear a sound that you just can't place, feel something move that you just can't place.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.